This is Curvy from the Luck of Eden Hall, and you're listening to Sounds Good with Mark Waters.
From across the room, her smile. I couldn't tell what she was thinking, so I said, what would it take to make you mine? She said, you really want to know? I said, yes. She said, take me where the wild ones go, where the wild ones go, where the wild ones ride. Take me to the edge and let me look over the side. She didn't give away a thing. I couldn't see what lay behind. I said, it's time for us to go. She said, take me where the wild ones go, where the wild ones go, where the wild ones ride. Take me to the edge and let me look over the side.
Where the Wild Ones Go, yes, Trevor Swell from his great album Calling Your Name. Welcome to Sounds Good and Mark Waters on the Music Machine Scotland and My Daddy-O Radio. Yes, We've got Marco from Mark and the Clouds coming to talk to us later on about his new album, Cumulus. So I look forward to that in about 15 minutes' time. Meantime, here's the new Marla Blue single, The Letter.
My baby just wrote me a letter. Give me a ticket for a aeroplane. Ain't got no time to catch no fast train. Lonely days are gone.
Yes, indeed. That was Marla Blue from her new single, which is available on iPhones, Amazon and all the other lovely outlets. Only on download at the moment. Let's have a 7-inch vinyl, eh? I look forward to playing that. But in the meantime, great music, eh? From Marla Blue. Thank you very much, Steve, for sending me that one. Right. Now, on Sounds Good, I have the wonderful Nick Pyunte, Beyond the Static, LP, which is now out on Sugarbush Records, and it is excellent, of course. And I'm going to have Time Machine.
I
Nick Bontier with Time Machine from his album Beyond the Static. And you can get that on CD from Nick himself or the LP from the wonderful and only Sugarbush Records. Now, coming up on Sounds Good in about 5 minutes' time is Mark and the Clouds. And Marco is going to talk to us about his wonderful new album, Cumulus, which is on Mega Dodo Records. And we're going to start with the fantastic On Her Bike.
Here she comes cycling again down the road. I watch her move, she is slow with her pale skin. Here she comes again. I just observe how she sits on her bike, slow swinging, left swinging right. All the rest that I had in my head's gone. Run.
Mark and the Clouds. Yes, Cumulus is the album. On Her Bike was the first track. Absolutely wonderful. So, here on Sounds Good, let's go over to Mark and the Clouds and Marco Magnini himself. Hello, Marco.
Hello.
Hello, is that Marco?
Hey, Mark, how are you? All right.
You produced an excellent album.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm glad you like it. I mean, so far it's been having a nice reaction.
Yeah,
you know, it's been already, because obviously the ideas of the songs came on board already shortly after the recording of Blue Skies Open in the first one, but it took us a while, because one thing was to start rehearsing on the songs, and I usually do home demos first to give to the other guys, so they start hearing the songs, and then so it was all, I mean, the songs were already there, I would say, what was it, the beginning of 2015, and I think we finished the recording itself before the mixing when it was already February 2016, so we're talking about already a year ago. When I approached John Blaney of Megadodo asking if he was for releasing it, and he said yes, but then I had to wait, obviously, because he had a string of bands that had to be released before us. Obviously.
Yes.
So yeah, it took us a few months, but then I took time to listen back and to mixes and possibly remixed things, and so yeah, it took us a while, but I'm satisfied with how things sound. Yes
Well, I've been very impressed with it, because it's so much like going back to my youth in the 60s.
I believe that when I started to listen to what I still listen to now, from the Beatles, Stones, Doors, and all the classic rock, when I was about 12. So I would say late 70s, I started to pick up and strum guitar on all the old great music. But I can picture what the spirit could have been in the 60s when all the great music came out. You know, because as a kid in the late 70s, I just felt it as a... I believe when you're younger that age and falling in love for that kind of music, I thought it must have been the spirit of all the young people in the 60s when all these great bands started to come out.
Yes, it was quite amazing. But what I liked about it in particular was your development of what was happening in the 60s.
I mean, I'm glad that some people so far, when they wrote reviews, they said that it doesn't sound like an imitation of the 60s, because obviously when I sit down and try to write a new idea, I don't want it to sound like this or that, but obviously my taste in music didn't really change, and I'm glad about it, because I feel like the spirit of good music is, well, like all the arts, really, it shouldn't really be the... because certain things have been done before, you're supposed to change that, or so. Yeah, just as you probably know, I like what I like, and so that my influences obviously come out, and it's mostly about writing good songs, regardless if one is folk and the other is rocky. As you know, that's probably a good balance, or at least that's what me and the guys tried to keep in that album, balance of folk tunes as well as rocky ones,
yeah.
But keeping a certain sort of melodic aspect, I suppose.
I couldn't have put it better, Mark. The mixture of songs and the mixture of the moods, you know, you could tell the influences where some of them come from. But
okay,
what you actually did with them was quite unique. You know, it was like what would George Harrison do nowadays if he was still alive? And there's a little bit of angry John Lennon in there, but not John Lennon, but you. What a very great, mature album for 2017.
I would say we still record this one using my own equipment, which I use Cubase, although I'm an analog guy. I mean, I like the vinyl and all that for convenience, really. I use digital things. So I use the program Cubase, as you know, lots of people use it. But I don't have a proper studio. So all I have is a laptop with that program in it, and I use a sound card which has got 8 inputs, so let's call it a mixer, for those who wonder what a sound card is. So compared to the first album, Blue Skies Open, where we pretty much recorded one instrument at a time, I wanted to preserve this kind of old-school way of recording, anyway. So most of the tunes from Cumulus, this new album, have been recorded with at least three of us, three of the members in the same room. So we've done pretty much my first electric guitar, the drums from Shino Kajima, and the bass from John O'Sullivan were done. The three of us were in the same room. So we put about four microphones around the drums, one in front of my guitar amp and the other on the bass amp. And I had another amplifier with a very, very low volume for the vocals, but just about, I mean, the vocals were getting recorded at the same time, but it was just as a guide for us to know where we were in the song. But the voice was so low that actually, when I redone the vocals later, you couldn't really tell that there was already another vocal in the room. I mean, other instruments that we recorded in a second time was the rhythm guitars by Javier Hayenza, and the keyboards from Lucy Rekhodova, brass part from Tom Hammond and Joe Hammond, and Tom plays trumpet and Joe plays trombone. So no, but I'm glad that we kept it pretty much old school. One thing I thought when I first had this idea, initially I even thought to have more members at the same time, but I thought maybe it was safer to put down one guitar, bass and drums first and add in things later.
Yeah.
I believe in this kind of spontaneity of the old recording where you have possibly like a whole band playing at the same time in the studio, as it should be, really. But also, and it takes less time, I thought. So I think once we started rehearsing the tunes was probably at the end of 2015, if I'm not wrong. We actually rented a rehearsal space with no soundproof walls. Actually, a plain, an ex-industrial place here in Manor House in London N7, near where I live. We were sharing it with another band called the Lysergic, or my friend Fabio, also very influenced by psychedelia. And, but a couple of days a week, we managed to rehearse there. And then I think both Sheen and John were surprised when I said, "Okay, guys, I think after a couple of times that after a couple of rehearsals, I said, I think maybe we can start recording next week." And probably, I remember Sheen being a bit surprised, thinking, "Are you sure that we are ready?" But I said, "Yeah, I think so." Yeah, I don't regret that because there was maybe an element of me already looking ahead and rushing with time. To me, things started to sound okay, and I said, "Yeah, let's play it on on our first, our first feeling." To redo some of my vocals here at home, but obviously for whatever was loud things like electric guitars and drums. That's why we chose a rehearsal space first of all. So
yeah,
we made sure that I wasn't going to disturb my neighbors.
Good. That's always politic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I recorded a few of the acoustic guitars here at home, but yeah, whatever could be done in a reasonable amount of volume.
Yes, amazing acoustic guitars in there. I was really impressed.
I mean, there were a couple of tracks where, apart from most of the tracks, as I said, were recorded live in the same room that we've done. Some of them stemmed out of my home demos. Like there's a second track called Road Mud and Cold. Initially it was a demo, and I thought, I quite like it. It's just basic acoustic guitars. But then I thought, no, come on, it's nice to create a build-up. And we added the bass from John and the drums from Sheen later, because luckily I recorded that on a metronome, so they were able to follow the right timing. But as I say, most tracks were recorded live otherwise, so I'm quite happy about the result. There was more preparation in having at least the three of us recording in the same room, because that meant to get it right, to make sure that the levels weren't going to distort and all this. Funny enough, there was one last track after we believed that the album had already enough tracks. I felt that there was a couple of up-tempo ones that were missing from the album, and I went back to a previous jam that we recorded. There was actually a test jam where I was asking Sheen and John at the beginning of our recording just to jam on anything, just to make some noise, so that I was gonna check the recording levels. And then I remember vaguely there was this lost track somewhere there, and when I listened back, I thought, maybe if I add some acoustic guitars on it, and then I built a new song on it later, it could become like a nice song. And then the song I'm talking about, it's Don't Block the Sun.
Yes, lovely. Well, it's time for the break now. Welcome back to Sounds Good. Before continuing with the explanation of Don't Block the Sun, let's have Don't Block the Sun by Mark and the Clouds. Amazing. Mark and the Clouds there with Don't Block the Sun. Let's continue with Marco and his explanation of how Don't Block the Sun was made.
And the funny story is this. I mean, I thought it was funny because I didn't know it. When I added the first acoustic guitar and John O'Sullivan, our bassist, was here with me, and I said, I'll play you that track that you and Sheen jammed on, and you tell me what you think, if you reckon it can become like a nice tune. And then he said, as he heard it back, he said, oh yes, I remember, I was actually jamming on the bass famous line on Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols. So it's actually, I didn't know that the actual, if you listen to the chords, you could actually sing Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols. Obviously, it's got a totally different feel and the melody is totally different. But
I wondered where it came from, because I thought to myself, I remember that, but where was it? Where was it? And you've answered my question. Lovely.
Yeah, because some people would say, you shouldn't say this, but I think it's a funny story, because it was so unintentional. John and Shin were just jamming, as I asked them to, while I was checking the recording levels. So, no, it was funny, because it never happened to me. Obviously, when I wrote the tune, it's like it's not similar at all, but the bare chords, I would say, they are.
Wonderful. So, it's going to be released, not this week, but next week, isn't it? The 11th?
Exactly, yeah. I agreed with John Blaney of Megadodo over a few months ago that we weren't going to exceed the 10th of March. So, yeah, it's... it's already both formats on vinyl and CD is... The album is available on Megadodo page and other places as well, but yeah, the actual date hasn't been announced yet, but I think it's going to be in a week or so.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I have both the vinyl and the promo CD.
Okay.
I actually bought the vinyl because, you know, I like supporting people.
I must send you a copy of it, because I literally, even us as a band, we got them through the post.
So, well, I've actually bought a copy already, and John sent it to me.
Okay, no, I meant, do you have the double album edition?
Well, I haven't got the double album edition as such, but you said, have you remixed the live at Putney?
Yeah, exactly, that's what the double CD has got.
Yeah.
It's going to be limited copies that has Cumulus, the new album, on disc one, and on disc two, there's a Live at the Half Moon from 2015.
That's right, you sent me that.
Yeah.
As well.
Definitely, I will, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. Wonderful.
Also tracks from the first album, Live, and obviously the new album. And I'm glad there was an idea of John Bain. I said, wow, that's very nice to come up with the idea.
That's good.
I was putting all the energy into the Cumulus new album. I must say, although, as you know, I wrote the tunes, but everybody in the band has been very helpful in helping out with the song... from the order of the songs, the arrangements as well. I mean, particularly when we were recording the first nucleus of the band, just me, Shin on drums, and John on bass, I mean, both of them have been very helpful in that. There was, for example, songs that I've written, but without any proper ending. And for example, Shin Okajima, the drummer, he pointed out a few possible cuts. We eventually edited them out. I mean, there were a couple of things that maybe... where made the song, certain songs a bit too long, or John O'Sullivan, I remember, for example, Hit by Lightning was one of the tunes that we couldn't decide how to end it, because what was on my original home demos were most of the structure, but not well designed, and then he pointed out, for example, the possible ending, and so yeah, it's been helpful, and the other members as well, they've been...
It's a lovely album, because you're all playing to make the best of the songs.
Thanks.
That's what struck me. And I mean, it's very difficult, the second album after your first, which was a humdinger. But
like an album expression.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes, but I mean, it's this one. What I like is it's different from the Blue Skies opening. It's a little bit more darkness in here, but there's some nice light bits as well. But it's just
it's funny when you mention darkness. There was something about the record cover where I remember Lucy or some of the members say, maybe a little bit. perhaps some people might think we are a gothic band, some of the guys in the band were maybe saying, what about from the black and white picture that we eventually used, about trying to put some clouds around us, but I think most of us, it was just a question of I was already I've been busy enough with the mixes, and I felt when I, because what happened, the picture on the album, we actually created it ourselves. I mean, I brought a black cloth, and I took pieces of everybody in the band. So it's been composed, put together afterwards, although we look like in the same room. But so I couldn't face any more graphic work, put it that way. So I felt, at one point I said to the guys, look, guys, what I can do is this, and then if you've got better ideas, let me know. So, but then when I sent the pictures to, the possible idea for the record cover to John Blaney and Megadol, he said, oh, I think we are on the right track. And, I mean, he helped a lot to choose the font, because initially I put a very big font, you know, or maybe a bit too colorful, but he was getting a bit distracted for the rest of the picture, so I'm glad that.
It's quite striking. It's quite striking.
Thanks. No, but yeah, it is perhaps a little bit, definitely more than the first album. It's got a bit of darkness in the record cover as well.
Yes.
I'm very happy you like it.
It's lovely. I mean, it's great on the 12-inch. It's quite stunning.
Mainly compared to Blue Skies Open, in the first one, I thought, as you know, that first album had lost more friends on it, because the first idea of this band was me asking lots of friends.
Yeah.
In a very anarchic way, in a way, to play on an album. But I think the idea to have so many friends, I mean, the way it's been the first album, to record all these guys was also time-consuming and difficult to arrange as well, because when I asked one, two, or three, or four people, when are you free next week, some of them were away for another 2 weeks, so it took ages. And for this second album, I felt it was good to just stick to mainly the guys I was performing with, so, as I said, Shino Kajima, John O'Sullivan, had been the regular, being specifically bass and drums. But so yeah, so it was I prepared the idea this time to sort of have less people around, pretty much like a band, just having those members playing on all the songs.
It works, and
thank you.
The reactions from my listeners have been very positive.
Great. I must thank you for all the great shares you put on Facebook.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, are you going? Let's just move on. What's the future sort of touring with this band?
So far, I tell you, we don't have those many days. I mean, I would say the big one that we are looking forward to is Games for May this year, that we already confirmed there with other Megadodos band, Fruit de Mer. Is it?
Yep.
It's going to be Sunday the 28th of May at the Half Moon still.
Down in Putney?
Yeah. The Half Moon in Putney.
Yeah.
Same as the other years. Yeah, so that's Games for May. Definitely Mark and the class we play there. And so far we have a monthly, a little acoustic thing for the next 2 months as well. That we just done one, me and John. That's part anyway. It was the 16th of February. But next month as well, it's going to be Thursday, the 30th of March. It's going to be me and Sheen and John performing acoustically. Because it's a very nice bar called Aces and Eights near Tufnell Park here in London, but it's they have a very small stage and they can't be that loud. So, I mean, we like the place, but we decided to be very few of us.
Right.
Going to be just the three of us. On that's Thursday, the 30th of March, and the month after is going to be 27th of April that we play there.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. Right. It's going to be a mixture of Mark and the Clouds' new songs and lots of classic rock covers as well.
Oh, great.
It's going to be 2 hours of music, and there's excellent pizza there. I mean, it's a nice place, free entrance.
Oh, great.
It's a very, it's got a typical rock and roll bar look, you know, with lots of like rock legends stuck on the wall.
Right, that sounds really great.
We don't have many, but there's a friend in Spain who's was arranging us to play in a festival in Barcelona, which I believe should be confirmed, but he's still dealing with the promoter. That would be sometime in the summer, I think.
Oh, lovely. Well, good luck with Mark and the Clouds and Cumulus.
Thanks for having me on the radio.
Speak to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to Sounds Good. Yes, I'm in conversation with Marco of Mark and the Clouds, and we're talking about his latest LP, Cumulus, which is on Megadado Records. So, from that album, we're going to have on the CD and the download, Sweet and Wild. And Wild. That's Mark and the Clouds with the album Cumulus, which is released on LP, CD and download. And if you buy the LP, you get a wonderful download code for the rest of the album. Absolutely super. Well, here on Sounds Good, I have for us now French Boutique from their latest album, Front Pop, and it's called The Rent.
Do I really fit in this empty room? Should I fill a space with grim recollections, secrets I never told? The whiteness of the walls is growing on me. Nightmares, I can tell these nails are fake. Am I redeeming or something I did? How should I thank innocent, which died last night. My TV set is stuck on channel 4. Loneliness, my name's not spelled with two N's. Is every one of letters blocking my door? Don't think I'm dead, or even out of this world. If I get out of here, I'll pay the rent.
Great French boutique there from their album Front Pop. That was The Rent. Absolutely great. Here on Sounds Good on the Music Machine Scotland, I've now got Melanie.
It's so lonely that tears start to fall. I just sing it all in this little rhyme that changes the time from the pain of the world to the love in my mind. Someone weeping so bitterly. Well, I knew it was me. So I hugged on my pillow, and I think it hugged me. Change.
Love in My Mind. That was Melanie from her lovely album Garden in the City. And that's out, been reissued on Talking Elephant Records, and it's been remastered too. A great job they've done there. Thank you very much, Marco Magnini, for talking to us today on Sounds Good about your latest album. Right, time has caught up with me here on Sounds Good. Now I've got The Refugees, which is Cindy Bullins, Deborah Holland, Wendy Waldman, with the fantastic Unbound. That's me, folks. Take good care out there and be kind to each other.
Searching for the end of thirst before the weight of sorrow takes me down. I saw a river in the distance, vanished in the sand. Right there, right then I knew that where I am is where I'll make my stand. Driven by one sole desire, follow where it leads. Break free, let me be unbound. To stand just once on holy ground. Someday, somehow, oh, to be. To stay.